Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us for a call from the Foxhole. This is Jason Searle. I'm honored to be chairman of Capon's Men. I want to take a quick second to acknowledge our 17 advisory board members and Joe Ferris and Scott Carter, who do a lot of work behind the scenes to pull these calls together. And most importantly, welcome our guests here and thank them for stepping forward to offer us a little insight each week here. This is our eighth call here. You can find our previous episodes on capeandspend.com in podcast format. We're honored to have Mike McGann join us today. He's a former Marine. I think in some of our promotions we called it retired Marine, and there's a distinction there, and we want to correct that. Mike's a former Marine. He didn't retire from the Corps, but he served and has a son who serves our nation. So we're very thankful and honored to have him. Mike would also tell you I've got a brother-in-law who's a former Marine, but they don't like being called a former Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. It's just a tremendous honor that those guys wear that cloth to defend all of us, and we're super honored to have him join us today. So I'm going to hand it off to Joe and Mike. Joe's going to begin with a little prayer and then have a conversation with Mike. So Joe and Mike, please take it away. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jason. And good morning, friends. I just heard Jason say eight. This is the eighth time we've been together, and what an honor and a blessing it's been. I think for me, the most valuable thing I have outside of my family and my relationship with the Lord is my time. And I appreciate everybody taking a few minutes. I think it's a big deal when we take time on these Wednesdays to come together, to be encouraged, to be challenged. And so I'm going to start with a little prayer. And I'll ask you, if you're driving in your car, clearly don't close your eyes. But if you're in a spot where you can get comfortable, sit back. And we'll just kind of sit in the stillness of this moment together. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you, and God, we thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this great stillness that has really taken over our country the last few weeks. We pray, Lord, for those that are suffering, whether it's physically or financially or mentally as a result of all of this, God. We just pray that we as a church can step into that space and that we can love and serve and see you in our midst. I pray, God, for the people that are on this call that are at the end of their patience or at the end of their energy. God, I pray that just as a result of our time, that you just fill them with your love and you fill them with your encouragement, that we all can kind of continue to be reminded that we are in this together. I pray, Lord, through the intercession of Father Capon, that we can go rejoicing to the home of the Lord. You know, Lord, we desire that. Jesus tells us in today's reading to remain in him. And I think, Lord, as we start our call, I just ask you through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus to just be with us today and to hold us close. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, welcome. It's a great honor. I'm here. I never would have thought that 8 weeks later I'd still be sitting in this park in Kentucky watching spring start and flowers change and trees have leaves back on them, but also it's kind of exciting to be together. You know, we talked that first week about this pilgrim's disposition, and the longer we've been out here on this journey, the more I've started to realize that there's a perseverance and we have to be steadfast. And anyone can start a journey, anyone can push off, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of faith to continue week in and week out. So thank you everyone who's kind of been here and been around. You're going to meet a really good friend of mine today. His name is Mike McGann, And Mike, I'm glad they cleared up the retired Marine thing because I was feeling kind of bad about that. I know it's been troubling you for days, but I'm going to let you. Jason did a pretty solid job introducing you, but I know there's a little more to you as I've gotten to know you through the years. So how about you just start with just a little bit of who is Mike McGann and how's he found himself here?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks, everybody. Good morning. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, or just outside of there. We've been here about 15 years. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and I heard last week, you know, my love affair with the Steelers continues even despite some rough years. Was a cradle Catholic, youngest of seven kids, had parents who were very involved in the church. I was lucky enough to marry a young lady who I had a crush on in fifth grade. And, you know, probably 10 or 12 years later, we got married. And so 27 years later have been continuing to enjoy the ups and downs of married life. We have three boys, and Jason mentioned it. I actually have a second son who was just commissioned last Friday. So I have two now as Marine Corps lieutenants, and my youngest is, at NC State. So after getting out of the Marine Corps, after serving for 4 years, I've been in and out of corporate America. We've moved around a lot and kind of landed in Raleigh 15 years ago and decided to grow some roots and raise our kids here. So it's been kind of a great ride doing that.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out, Mike, that you said NC State, you said you've been there 15 years. NC State won the national championship in 1983. That's one. Okay, and two, I think I heard you say you're a Bengals fan, and I'm appreciative of that because it's been years since we've won any kind of game. So I think this is a good start. I think we're going to be fast friends here. I'm going to act like I didn't hear the Steelers thing. But in your introduction and in my time getting to know you, you had, like, I don't want to say the American dream, but maybe you had what people would consider to be the American dream, right, which is a great job and working up the ladder. And you had a pretty massive shift in what God was doing. And would it be okay? I hate to turn that quickly on my NC State comment and the Bengals, but I also know that time is short on these calls, and it's always important to hear of a brother who encounters God and that God does some significant things. So would you mind sharing a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, sure. It happened about 9 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago. We were checking all the boxes in our faith. You know, the kids were in traditional CCD. We would go to church. You know, I was focused on kind of my career and family. And, you know, from a worldly standpoint, things were going really well. And, you know, I'd just taken over a new role at the company I work for. And 1 month after taking over that role, I got a call from my mom that my dad had terminal cancer. And so for the next 7 months, had the opportunity, had a great boss that said, go spend as much time as you want, work out of Pittsburgh. And so I got to spend quite a bit of time, and we would take the kids up to visit my father as he was going through treatment and his health declined. And you know, in retrospect, the Lord had been working on me for quite some time, been very, very patient over the years. But as I watched my dad decline. And my dad was a guy, he was a great guy, he lived a life of service, never wore his faith on his sleeve. It was kind of much more internal, but he struggled with alcoholism throughout his life. But I watched him make peace with God, and it was really the last 5 days of his life when we got the call. He was in hospice at home, and we all gathered at my mom and dad's house, and it was one evening. I had taken the shift. We would sit, my brothers and I would take turns sitting with him throughout the night because he was, you know, he was very, very in poor health. And I remember one evening sitting there and just praying to God and asking God to stop my dad's suffering. And it was as if the gates had opened in my heart because I had asked God for, and I had said, God, come in. And it was extremely emotional for me. Didn't know what I was experiencing. The tears were flowing. I remember grabbing my computer and just starting to type. I don't even know what I was typing. A lot of it was gratitude for God giving me a father that provided for us and loved us. And, you know, he passed a couple of days later. And when my wife and the boys came up for the funeral, I remember telling Janine about the story, and she kind of smiled and just said, you know, that was a Holy Spirit moment. And, you know, of course, at the time I was, you know, what is that? I don't know what that means. But it caused me to reflect over the next few months and really begin to start trying to build some sort of a prayer life. And so, you know, that was extremely powerful for me from that standpoint. And, you know, from that point, I realized that I had to make a choice, you know. And that choice was I going to live intentionally for God and try to live the gospel every day, or continue to try and struggle with, you know, I'll say a watered-down version of the gospel, or trying to measure up to the world's view of success. And I realized that given where my boys were, my two older ones were just becoming teenagers, that I had to go all in. And it radically changed our family's life.
Yeah, I would imagine, Mike, there's a lot of people on this call that have had these Holy Spirit moments where we look back and go, man, it was clearly the work of God. And probably during this 8 weeks, a lot of us have been in our homes, we've had those moments. But it's one thing to have a moment, right, and to make this choice. I think you mentioned 9 years ago. How is it, like, how is your life changed as a result of that, like your day-to-day life and some of the decisions? I know you've made some pretty radical, I think the world would look radical decisions since that time. So explain and maybe open up some of that as to how that Holy Spirit moment served to really change the course of you as a dad and as a husband and ultimately as a son of God.
Sure. I would say it started with probably my boys. And realizing that, you know, living my faith in my home and not being willing to step out of my comfort zone and share my faith, and even then I didn't know what that meant. But I had a good friend that had given me a book written by Robert Lewis called Raising a Modern Day Knight, and I had just read it before my dad got sick. But again, connect the dots now, it's very easy to do. But basically that was all about authentic masculinity and how our sons, any of those that have sons, need intentional and authentic leadership to guide them to manhood. And so the first thing I had done, you know, I'd started that journey with my oldest son, and it was clumsy and it was clunky and I didn't know what I was doing and I felt insecure. But through that period over the last 9 years, all of my boys have gone through various ceremonies through that to with men that have surrounded them and been a part of their spiritual journey. I'm blessed to say they're all active in the faith, and they're very connected. And I've learned more from them than they have probably learned from me when it comes to watching how they live their faith as teenagers in today's world. So that was the first part. The second part was just starting to say yes to things. You know, I became a youth group volunteer at our church. My wife is a youth minister there, and she, you know, she had asked but never pressed. And I remember one day she said, you know, Liz needs some help. Would you be willing? And I just remember saying yes. And I don't know why I said yes, but I did. And so that kind of grew into, okay, after a few years of doing that, realizing that the men in our parish, there were a few other groups that were taking place that I wasn't really connected to, but we were on a retreat it was a core team retreat, and I remember that evening Father Dave Pavonka had put in our minds as we were going through adoration, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to give you a word, and he gave me a word, and he did it twice, and it was the same word, and the word was evangelization, and he was asking me to step out even further. And I remember getting together with a group of men the next morning and saying, hey, I think we're supposed to get together, start a men's group so we can walk and do this journey together. And that's where we were introduced to Father Capon by you, you know, a few years ago. And that was a very, very instrumental series for us to watch. I think it impacted a lot of the guys in different ways. And really that led to, were we fully dropping our nets? And probably between 2 and 3 years ago, my wife and I, you know, were praying and talking, and we said, you know, if we're going to do this, we got to drop our nets and fully listen to the Lord. And so we did. And the first thing the Lord told us was, you know, sell your house and downsize, sell everything. And so we did that about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, moved into a smaller house. My youngest son went to a different high school. And then we were only in that house about a year when we both felt another call that says, you need to find and create the space for people to encounter me. And of course, we didn't really know what that meant. But what we started to do was go out and look for land and property and things like that. Now, mind you, I was getting ready to send my youngest off to college. And at that time, most people would say, what are you thinking? And so last year, last August, we moved into a 12-acre farm that, you know, we are trying to figure out how the Lord wants us to create this space for people to encounter him, whether it's a respite site or a retreat site or a reach, who knows. We've done a few, you know, of the retreats for school and things like that, or for the youth group. But at least presently, what the Lord has been telling us is just mow the grass. And so we're doing a lot of that as we prepare for whatever he has in store for us next.
Now, I think that is, the Lord has told me to mow the grass a few times too, and occasionally my wife. But the truth of the matter is, that is, it's so magnificent the way you say that, because I'm thinking that's so in line with Father Capon. You know, you said you watched the videos, and I think you probably would even agree that he took these ordinary moments, and I always say made them extraordinary. And it's kind of the call of every man on this call, and each of us as followers of Jesus. But I know time is going to catch up with us, but I'd love for you to maybe speak into a little bit of what the impact of Father Capon's been for you. Because you did this radical move, right? Dropping the nets and I think mowing the grass, and we'll think about all day today. But how does Father Capon play into that in a deeper way than maybe just, I know you have the connection of being in the military, but what is there more?
Yeah, there's definitely more, Joe. The thing that struck me most when we watched that series and I got to know a bit more about Father Capon was his intentionality as a leader. I mean, every action he took, he did so with intention. I mean, when we listened to Herb Miller's story a few weeks ago, and listening to him tell the story of Father Capon stepping in front of the Chinese soldier, to how he visited the troops continuously. I mean, he lived the life like Jesus did. Every action was for someone else just to experience his grace, and he never thought about it. And, you know, as I think of that, to me, the point in all of this is, you know, we have an opportunity to live our faith intentionally. It's a choice that we get to make every day when we wake up. And as I've listened to the calls over the past several weeks, you know, each of the men has a different story that I kind of really enjoyed to hear and learn from. But I've never looked at each story or each of those and thought, man, I can't compare to that, because that's not the point. I mean, the point, and I think Father Capon did such a great job of this, was, you know, what can you apply to your life? Because when you choose to live the gospel, it really does free you from any of the bonds of comparison. And so, how we live intentionally for God is going to be different for all of us, but it really just starts with saying yes. And, you know, Father Capon definitely did that for me. That's what touched me.
Yeah, I Mike, everything you're saying, man, it's dead on with where we are and what we're doing. I know you mentioned your wife and you mentioned youth, and I'm have been in youth ministry, so I understand that kind of bringing you in as a volunteer. But you've also stepped deeper into this ministry that she's been doing called Project Light Ministries. And I know I'm a huge fan of it. I'm constantly out telling people how great it is. And they made this movie called Speaking to Sparrows, which I think was kind of this underground hit in youth ministry circles all over the United States. And everywhere I go, I invite people to watch it. But can you make a little connection? Because I know when we talked this week, you mentioned that there was going to be an opportunity for men to jump in to get some vision around this Project Light Ministry. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to maybe see that we can maybe understand more about the way the world kind of works, especially around our wives. So do you mind breaking open Project Light for a second and speaking to Sparrows and this little opportunity that's kind of upcoming up?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So as Joe said, I mean, Project Light Ministries created this film, which was intended to be for women to really break open stories with other women, to not only watch and connect, but really start courageous conversations about some really tough topics. And I think what the feedback was and what they saw was it's had great success, and they've had some Facebook Live groups with various women. We actually did a screening with our men's group a couple of years ago, and I can remember the emotion for all of those men, and we invited any folks that weren't part of the group, which I think led to them creating this, hey, we needed to do a Facebook Live and screening for men. And I will tell you, any man that's a father, whether you have sons or daughters, you must watch this film. If you have daughters, it will help you connect and open the door for some of those conversations and allow your daughters to open up if they've been struggling with any of these things and really help see the fruits of what God is trying to do by opening these stories and sharing these stories. And if you have sons, it is so important to be able to understand the importance for a young man to know that his identity is rooted in God and his purpose is to protect the heart of a woman. And I think in society that's so countercultural, but the work that Liz and Janine have done with these films, or this film, is really just instrumental. So I'd invite all of you to when this, you can register on the Project Light Ministries Facebook page. You'll answer a couple of questions, and you'll get a link sent to you to be able to watch it. And you can watch it, you know, with your family. They say really should be for audiences greater than 15 years old, just because the content's raw. It's a very, very real video. So, you know, I love the work they're doing. It's really gonna, I hope, help our church, help our families, most importantly, to be able to bring the church more fruitfully into the home.
Yeah. Now, I think anyone on this call, I'm sure there'll be a link once we send the podcast out as well. It's Speaking the Sparrows discussion group for men, I think, on Facebook, and you can join the group that way. Real quick, Mike, you moved, and I've been to your, I think it's 12 acres there in Raleigh, and I guess a lot of us don't have 12 acres or big farms that we live on where we have a space. And so our transition from this quiet we've been in 8 weeks back to the normal, and I think it's a new normal of our world, is going to be chaotic and a little bumpy. You basically make that transition every day prior to this when you go to work.
Yeah.
So how would you encourage us and maybe even speak into us as men to, like, how have you done that? And how would you maybe say some of the lessons we've learned in this? How can we take that into our day-to-day life?
I mean, I think it starts with that invitation that we get every morning when we wake up, the invitation to enter in and being able to enter in. You know, I talked a lot about intentionality and Father Capon's impact. And, you know, I had always considered myself, you know, through my Marine Corps experience and having different leadership roles, to be an intentional leader. But what I didn't know was that intentionality can carry over to everything we do, our personal lives, our family lives. And I think, but it starts with being open to that invitation and allowing yourself to enter into that. Because I think when we do that, it gives us that space that we need. You know, many people are talking, you need the space to let the Holy Spirit in. And while that's true, and there may be many people that never go through huge radical conversions, but, you know, having the ability to open up a bit and just say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to let you use me today. And certainly in our work life, you know, we've all been home, working from home. That changes a little bit in terms of how we can engage, but we can still engage. And, you know, the question is, are we stepping forward to try and engage?
Yeah, no, that is one of the things that I've been praying a lot about during this, is just this idea that to be fully alive means to be super present to the moment, but to surrender each of these moments to the Holy Spirit. Mike, I can say as a friend and someone who's walked alongside you and accompanied you through the years, that I'm honored that you came and spent a few minutes with us this morning. I know your life is busy and crazy. And to those listening, like, this is a treasure chest of good stuff that Mike has dropped, right? Just the beginning with the beautiful idea of these Holy Spirit moments, and not just letting them be moments in the past, but letting them be moments that feed us as we move forward. You know, Mike mentioned dropping the nets, and I was thinking, gosh, how have I dropped the nets lately? Have I gotten lazy? Am I just sitting on the boat watching things happen? And then he pushed in even further to just mow the lawn, like stay in the course and daily entering into the battle to protect not only the hearts of our wives and our daughters, but really our families. You know, I think we allow God to provide in these moment-to-moment encounters. We surrender those moments to the Holy Spirit, and we as men on this call really try very hard to protect those moments. And I think the last thing I'd say to you as I'm about to hand this back off to Scott is live today with intentionality. With intercession of Father Capon, may we look at each moment as an opportunity to grow holier, to love our families deeper, and to maybe be still and let God be God in the moments. When we remain in Him, it makes us certainly more beautiful examples of who God wants us to be. So have a glorious, glorious week. We'll be praying for you. I'm going to hand it off to Scott to close us in prayer and tell you about next week. But thank you again, and be assured of my prayers.
Thanks, Joe, and thanks, Mike. We really appreciate you joining us and your words of wisdom, the insight that you've learned with your relationship with the Lord over the years. And I think it'll be very helpful for us, reminders this week as we continue about our work. We've got a few announcements here. Next week, we will be joined by Dr. Bob Schutz, who is the founder of the John Paul II Healing Institute. He's spent, I think, 30 years or so as a therapist, family and marriage therapist, and written a book, Be Healed. So it will be a great, great opportunity for us to hear about some healing and the way that the Lord continues to work in us, both in our lives and in our families. As Joe and Mike were talking about, we'll also talk about the Speaking with Sparrow video. Emails for that or in the podcast notes. As always, if you miss this or want to share this with a friend who couldn't listen in, you can check us out either at capensmen.com, or you can find us on most podcast players now. So let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Any comments, suggestions, thoughts, and know that we're praying for you. And let's end our day with, again, consecrating ourselves to our Blessed Mother and saying the three Hail Marys that Father Capon taught us to pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Servant of God, Emil Capon, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.